We're continuing this morning in the book of Proverbs, and it's an amazing, incredible book of the Bible. I hope you're enjoying the journey as we've been looking at different of the themes, different of the teaching that Proverbs brings to us. I hope that you've been enjoying it. Remember that we've seen before that Proverbs is wisdom from heaven for living here on earth. If there's any kind of catchphrase to help us when we read through Proverbs, one thing you can do, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so you could read Proverbs one chapter a day for a month. I've done that a number of times. And as we read it, to have in the back of our minds, this is wisdom from heaven for living on earth. The writer Solomon uses different ways to impress upon us this wisdom he's received from God. And one of the ways he does that, he introduces us to a series of characters. And these characters appear throughout the book like actors coming onto stage. So you see suddenly as you read through Proverbs, suddenly this character appears and he or she performs, says some stuff and then exits his stage. It's like a kind of a play, as it were, with these characters coming and going on stage. Over the past month, we've met some of the characters. We've met them, and the reason that they're there is to help us recognize godly character in other people and godly character in ourselves. And they can sometimes seem a little bit like caricatures with their exaggerated personification. But don't be put off, because Proverbs is trying to make a point. It's trying to hit us hard. So as we read these characters, sometimes they can be almost, you can think, whoa, goodness me, what's this character about? And some of the characters we've met so far have been inspirational. Other characters have been there as a warning to us. We've been warned by some of the characters, like, for example, the fool. The fool appears a number of times in Proverbs. And the fool isn't some dumb, dim-witted chap. The fool isn't someone who's not been to school. The fool is someone, could be incredibly educated, but the fool in Proverbs is someone who doesn't go God's way, who never walks the path that God has for his life. So he's a fool because he misses out on what God has for him. We've also been warned by the character called the sluggard. The sluggard was the lazy man who basically didn't do the things that God has for him to do, and instead, either through procrastination or through laziness, whole series of things, didn't walk the path that God had for him. We've also been encouraged and inspired by the character called the wise man. And the wise man is portrayed as this person, man or woman, who sees God's path and walks down it. But there are more characters to meet in Proverbs. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for inspiring Solomon all those thousands of years ago with your words, with wisdom from heaven for living on earth. And we pray today, Lord, would you open our hearts to hear what you are saying to us as individuals? Lord, we humble ourselves before your word and say, would you speak? Would you come with your word so powerfully, clearly into our hearts? Amen. In the mid-17th century, if you were rich and you were famous and you lived in England, there was one person you wanted to paint you. Of course, it was before the days that Bob and Vicky were snapping around taking photos. Before photos, you had to be painted to be kind of immortalized, as it were. And there was one person, the person was called Sir Peter Lely, and he was the royal portrait painter. He was the one who could paint in what was perceived as the style of the day. And if you wanted to be painted, you got him to paint you. The flavour of the day was to paint the sitter in the most flattering of poses. It was to gloss over any imperfections and really to portray an idealised picture. A bit like Bob when he gets going, gets a photo, takes it into Photoshop and sort of brushes out a few imperfections and just a little bit of nip and tuck, and you look fantastic. Well, before there was Photoshop, there was Sir Peter Lely, and he was the painter that could make you look great. So Charles II had himself painted, and here's Charles II. And one of the things that about this painting was that in the mid-17th century, the height of fashion was the legs. You had to have good-looking legs. And so what happened here was that Sir Peter Lely used the model of a woman's legs and put them. He was a cut and paste job, you know what I mean? So he took a woman's legs and painted a woman's legs onto Charles II, because Charles II's legs weren't that good. And Charles II wanted to be good, wanted to look good. Charles, this painter, Lely, had been the portrait painter for Charles I. So when Oliver Cromwell became Lord Protector of England in 1654, he instructed Oliver Cromwell said, "I want you to paint me," but he was a Puritan. He said, "I don't want all this airbrush stuff. I don't want any legs of a lady. I want you to paint me, warts and all." You may have heard that expression, where famously said, apocryphally said, Oliver Cromwell said, "Paint me as I am. Give us a picture." And so they painted him as he was. No airbrushing, no cut and paste, no kind of legs of a lady. This was Oliver Cromwell, supposedly as he was. And this expression passed into common usage, "I want to have something presented, warts and all." It means it's as it is. Tell it as it is. Don't brush over the unreality. We just want it as it is. And it's important, you know what I think? It's important that for you and I, that we see ourselves as we are, warts and all. It's not helpful to be introspective. It's not helpful to be negative about myself. But it is very important to have a realistic view of myself and not some airbrushed view of how I really am. It's important because I'm only going to change if I realize there's something in my life that needs to change. Just hit the pause button for a moment. We've got a crisis over there. Thank you very much. The crisis has been solved. It was a heating crisis. Thank you. So, wouldn't it be terrible if to realize that everyone else can see something in my character that I don't myself realize? And that's the purpose of Proverbs, reading the Proverbs all about. It's a book about the realities of life, and through the characters we meet in the book of Proverbs, we can see ourselves a bit more clearly. Have you ever used the restroom at work and walked and only hours later realized that you were trailing some tissue paper, and for the last few hours you've been walking around with tissue paper stuck to your foot? Or have you had a meal and then only later on at home realized you've got some food stuck on your face, and the rest of the afternoon you've been there and everyone's been looking at you with food stuck on your face? Wouldn't it be embarrassing? Why didn't someone tell me? Proverbs helps us to see our lives and see things in our lives that maybe other people can see, but we ourselves don't recognize. That's the power of the book of Proverbs. And he does it by introducing these characters. So we've met the fool, we've met the wise man, we've met the sluggard. Today, this week, we're going to meet a character, a new character in the book of Proverbs, called the scoffer. This character called the scoffer. Now, the scoffer is also called the cynic. He's called the mocker. And he's called a scorner, depending on your particular version of the Bible, your translation of the Bible that you've got. And at first sight, this character doesn't seem so bad. After all, what's wrong with a bit of joking? Isn't mocking just a bit of teasing, a bit of fun? But this isn't about joking. It's not about fun. It's not about humor. This is different. The thing about the scoffer is there's the flow of negative things that come out of his mouth that mocks what other people say, scorns the opinions of others, and is cynical towards the actions of other people. All of us say some things at times we regret. Who of us is perfect in what we say? But with this character, there's a bad attitude on the inside that flows out of his mouth that impacts his life and the lives of those around him. See, Proverbs tells us it's very, very important what comes out of my mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says this amazing statement. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Isn't that an amazing thing to say? But actually, what we say has the power to either bring life and bless and build up and nourish, or to tear down and to kill and to rob and to destroy. What I say has incredible, incredible power. And see, the scoffer has an attitude of heart that looks down on what other people say. He scoffs at what they say. He scorns at their opinions, mocks them, and is cynical about anything other people say or think. The problem with the attitude of the scoffer is just that. It's his attitude. Someone says something, a scoffer belittles it. Someone offers an opinion, the mocker laughs and is derisory. Someone passes an innocent comment, the scorner puts the person down with a sharp reply. Someone is positive and encouraging, and the cynic dismisses anything good with a destructive put down. The scoffer really thinks that other people need his opinions. And the mocker is easily offended because he knows he's right. The chances are most of us will know someone at work, or if you're parents, another parent in the playground, or even another relative in your family who is a bit like this. And the problem with being near a scoffer is where the scoffer is this trouble. It says Proverbs 22 verse 10, it says, if you throw out the mocker, if you get rid of the mocker, the fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults disappear. In other words, if there's someone that's a cynic or a scorner or a mocker, then there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. Proverbs 24 verse 9 say, men detest the mocker. And scripture warns us not to have a scoffer as our friend. There's something that's important. We're starting this week and we're going to talk next week about friendship. Because it's who we choose as friends is very, very important. And one person it tells us in scripture, in Proverbs, not to choose is a cynic, is a scoffer, is a mocker. Scripture warns us in Psalm 1 verse 1, it says this, Blessed, happy to be envied, is the one who does not sit in the seat of mockers. Otherwise, in other words, there's a group of people who are cynical, mocking, laughing, derisory. If I go and sit with them, the blessing's gone. What's this saying is, blessed, happy, the person who chooses not to have those people as company, but to separate from those people, that's where the blessing is. The blessing is not with the cynics. Can I just say that I believe it's really important for us to be on guard. Be on guard at work or in the playground or in your family. If there are people that you rub shoulders with who are cynical, scoffing, mocking people, work colleagues or whatever, because they're going to be trouble. And so it's important to guard my heart. It's important to pray for them. And it's important to pray for me in that situation. But there's more. There's more. There's going to be trouble, but there's more. The advice of Proverbs is this, is be careful what you say when a scoffer is around. Now, if you see someone making a mistake, if you care for someone, if the person next to you makes a mistake, does something, says something that you can see has got bad consequences, if you care for them, if you love them, you will say something. It will be gentle. It will be affirming. It will be loving. It will be timely. It will be diplomatic. But if you love them, you'll say something. You wouldn't just let them head down a path that's negative. You would say something because that's what it means to be a friend. And we'll look a bit more at that next week. But there's a warning in Proverbs. Proverbs 9 verse 8, it says, do not bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. Proverbs 15:12. Mockers hate to be corrected. See, someone who's got this attitude in their heart of being deeply cynical and mocking and derisory and scorning, that if you try to correct them, all that will happen is it will come back on you in a bad way. A person who's a scoffer won't be corrected about anything. Proverbs 9 verse 7 says this, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. I see someone heading down a certain path, so I step in and say gently, lovingly, in a timely way, in a diplomatic way, try and say, you know, is this a wise choice? Are these good things to do? A scoffer, a scorner, a cynic will simply give you abuse back. Or the Message puts it like this, I love this, 9:7, Proverbs 9:7 in the Message says this, if you reason with an arrogant cynic, you get slapped in the face. See, one of the problems of this person who's a scoffer, who's a cynic, who's a mocker, is their attitude is contagious. It spreads. You've only got to see that in office. If you've got a group of people working in an office, or working on a building site, or a group of parents in the playground, if you have one person who's whispering, cynical, scoffing, negative, undermining what happens, undermining the teachers, undermining the school, undermining other people in the office, someone goes out of the room to the bathroom, they're just negative, negative, negative stuff. What happens is, it's contagious. Proverbs 29 verse 8 says, "Scorners set a city ablaze." Scoffers and scorners are spiritual pyromaniacs. They set others on their same witty path. They think it's witty. And it looks clever. It looks as though in the office or on the building site, what they're saying is clever. And other people think, well, what they're saying is witty and it's clever and it's amusing and it's fun. The tearing down of other people is funny if you're not that person. If you're the person that they're not tearing down, it looks funny because they're clever with words. But listen what Psalm 1 verse 1 says. We've looked at it before. "Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers, mockers, scorners, or cynics." Thing is, we can't get close to God and close to scoffers at the same time. If we try to maintain fellowship with scoffers and fellowship with God, human nature being what it will, we gravitate more towards the scoffer than to God. A number of years ago, you may have seen a TV series called Grumpy Old Men. And then there was a follow-up sequel, Grumpy Old Women, where they interviewed famous people, about my age actually, in their 50s. And they got these famous folks on, and they'd sort of go on, witter on about things in life that they were moaning and complaining about. And it was so successful, they had another series and another series and a spin-off series, and why are scoffers, why are cynics so successful in the world? Well, Proverbs warns us about becoming like those grumpy old men. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, he didn't take his own advice. One of the things about Solomon, one of the aspects of his life that's a warning, is he received wisdom from God, but he himself didn't follow it. And this is an incredible wake-up call to all of us, is I can receive wisdom from God, we can hear from God, but if I don't then do what God's saying, I can end up like Solomon. And at the end of his life, Solomon was a mocker. He was cynical. He was a grumpy old man. He wrote at the end of his life a book called Ecclesiastes. This is how he begins it, Ecclesiastes. If you're feeling down, don't read Ecclesiastes. If you need a lift for the day, it's not the book to go for. Ecclesiastes starts like this: "Meaningless, meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." So here's a real, real lift for the morning. Is a scripture to have for the day as you're heading out the door. This is his view of life after this is a man who had tasted all the world had to offer. He says it's just all rubbish, and he is a grumpy, grumpy old man. At the end of this book, Ecclesiastes 12, he wakes up a bit to his own grumpiness. And he wants his sons, his daughters, he wants the next generation to learn something. And this is what he says. End of Ecclesiastes 12. He says, "Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of evil come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no delight in them.'" And so he's trying to say, look, don't become like me. Don't become cynical and hardened. But when you're young, focus on God. Go God's way. Don't take the path that I've taken, was his advice. If you're a parent, then we've got work to do as a parent in encouraging our children not to be cynical, not to mock, not to be derisory, not to scoff. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer doesn't listen to rebuke." You see, the problem for a scoffer is a scoffer cannot make progress with God. This is the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem for a scoffer is he's not going to make any progress with God. Proverbs 14:6 says, "A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none." See, the thing is, remember when we started looking at the wise man, we found that the fear of the Lord in Proverbs, at the beginning of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If I want to know wisdom, true wisdom, then it starts with respecting God. It starts with the awe of God. It starts with the right sense of who God is. That's the kind of wisdom the scoffer can't find. But why can't he find it? Is it unavailable? Is it too difficult for him to understand? This verse says in Proverbs 14:6 that the scoffer seeks wisdom. Here's the scoffer and he's looking for wisdom. If he's looking for wisdom, why doesn't he find it? If this scoffer is seeking, looking for wisdom, why is he not finding it? Why is he missing it? The key to the riddle is remembering there are two types of wisdom. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12 says, Paul's talking here, and he says he's talking about how he and the people with him that he's worked with, we conducted ourselves in the world in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have not done so according to worldly wisdom. Paul wants us to see that there's a wisdom which is a worldly wisdom. It's something which is to do with this world. It's not to do with the next world. It's not to do with heaven. Remember, Proverbs is wisdom from heaven for living now on earth. Paul's contrasting that with a different type of wisdom, the wisdom of this world, what people value in this world, what people think is wise in this world, the advice that people will give you in this world. There's a contrast. Paul wants to see it. James is even more hard-hitting in James 3:15. James, I love James. James is one of the guys that you'd be a bit nervous about meeting because he'd tell things exactly as it is. He wouldn't package it. He wouldn't put it gently. You just kind of get both barrels from James. And this is what he says. He talks about wisdom that's from the world. And he says, this wisdom that's from the world that Paul mentioned, it doesn't come down from heaven. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. It's of the devil. He tells it straight. He's telling you straight that this worldly wisdom is not going to do you any good. That actually there's a source of wisdom that God wants us to plug into, God wants us to receive, that comes down from heaven. Look what it says, the wisdom that comes from heaven, this wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. There's a contrast. There's two different types of wisdom. And one type is one we don't want and one type is one we do want. The problem with the mocker is he craves the worldly wisdom. The problem with the mocker is he's looking to impress other people. The problem with the cynic is he's looking to be funny amongst other people. He's trying in himself to make a name for himself. Look what it says. Let's get to the root of the problem, because the scripture tells us that the problem with the mocker or scoffer is what these words that come out of his mouth, they show something about his heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's incredible insight. If you think of all the things you say, I've done this, I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, actually, it came out of my mouth. Actually, it was in my heart first. I might be ashamed of the fact it was in my heart, but nevertheless, if it came out of my mouth, it was in my heart. And Jesus said, out of your heart comes what you say. And so what we're seeing with the scoffer and the cynic and the mocker is actually it reflects something in his heart. There's something wrong with his heart. What is wrong with his heart? Proverbs 21:24 tells us. It says, the proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. So the problem with the scoffer is what's in his heart, it's pride. And of all the sins that are listed in the Bible, cynicism is the fruit of pride. And if there's one worse sin, it's very hard, as far as God's concerned, sin is sin. But if there's one that's highlighted in the Bible, one sin that's highlighted, it's the sin of pride. The sin of pride was the sin of the devil. It's the reason the devil fell was pride in his heart. And so pride is highlighted. And the scoffer's problem is this pride, this arrogance, this self-centeredness. See, he thinks his actions and his advice are better than anyone else. He is right and everyone else is wrong. And of course, the problem with pride is that it blinds, it's false, it isolates, it sets itself up against God. A scoffer offers his opinion because he thinks he's wise. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. This is the problem with the scoffer. Now, what about you and me? And none of us here this morning would say, that's me, I'm a scoffer. Because we're here today because there's something in us which wants to follow God, goes God's way, wants to humble ourselves before. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. So all of us today, there's something, there's a seed in us. There's the hand of God upon our lives, such there's something in us which doesn't want this. Well, actually wants to love God, follow God, go God's way. But one of the purposes of Proverbs is to illuminate character traits which can be, to a greater or lesser extent, in us all because of our fallen human nature. I must be honest with you this morning. I see elements of the scoffer, the cynic, the mocker in my own life. And I also see elements in your life. It's often easier, actually, to see things in other people than it is in ourselves. Often easier. See, the thing is that of all the different characteristics and ways of explaining this guy, the scoffer, the mocker, the cynic, actually the one I think is probably most relevant to us as British is cynic, because we're labelled as a nation of cynics. Our society doesn't see cynicism as a bad thing. In fact, the cynic could be labelled as someone who's self-assured, someone who's the realist, someone who's the independent thinker. There's something attractive about being labelled as a cynic, almost a virtue, not taking people at face value, not trusting another person's judgment, actually knowing there's an inside track, actually knowing there is a conspiracy theory really underneath going on. Proverbs makes it clear cynicism is not a positive attribute. And you know what? The thing about cynicism, it grows in our hearts where a particular seed has been planted. Cynicism is the fruit of a seed. And that seed is where you and I have been let down in the past by people. Now, we've all been let down. There's been people, family and friends, who have let us down. People who said they're going to do something and then didn't do it. Someone who should have done something and they didn't do it. Someone who turned nasty on us. Someone who we trusted and they turned bad. Someone who we trusted ourselves to, maybe we shared something about our life to, and they turned bad, they turned up on us. All of us, you don't live in a fallen world for the number of years that we have without being let down by people again and again and again. We're let down by parents, we're let down by friends, we're let down by work colleagues. And the thing is that this let down, let down, let down, what it sows in my heart and sows in your heart is mistrust. It sows in us a sense of, can I really trust these people? Can I really trust my boss? Can I really trust people in my family? Can I really trust my sister, my brother? Can I really trust? And that fruit, the fruit of that mistrust over time produces the fruit of cynicism. See, cynics don't trust anyone. And if you've been let down this morning, which all of us have, guaranteed, then it's easy not to trust again, at least not to fully trust. And, you know, and I must say, as I've looked at this topic, I've been thinking about this topic and reflecting on it, I've been aware of how cynical I am in certain aspects of my life. And part of that is where I've been let down. Where different people, in my 52 years, there's been many occasions where someone said something that's turned out later to be not true. Or someone's done something, particularly in the work situation, there's been someone who behind the back has been scheming and trying to bring bad things and try to tear down. Maybe in the family, maybe someone in the family has let us down. And I just want to be honest that if you're like me, that we carry a catalogue of letdowns in our lives. But this morning I want to take heart, because do you know what? I know God is in the changing business. And if there's an element in my heart of cynicism, if there's an aspect of my personality and character where I've become cynical, God in his mercy is in the changing business. And the good news is, my heart is not set in stone, but God is moving. God intends us to change. And part of that change is God works in us through the Holy Spirit and through our Christian brothers and sisters to help us. Just to finish this morning, I've got three things. A takeaway, as you like. A takeaway from this morning. Three things to take away from this morning. What kind of, as I've been talking this morning, if I'm aware there's an area of my character where I've become cynical about people, what can I do? Three things to take away from this morning. I don't want to become a grumpy old man. And you don't want to become a grumpy old woman. We don't. The first thing this morning to do is it's very important that we forgive those who've let us down. Even this week, someone may have let you down. And guaranteed over this last year or two, major things have happened where you have been let down. Do you know that one of the areas where I've been let down is I've lent people money, different situations, quite genuine situations, lent people money in different situations, and then they haven't paid back. Turned out either I was being scammed, either I didn't see behind the situation that in fact they were lying, or just generally they just weren't able to pay back for a whole variety of reasons. And realise that actually I get quite cross. Firstly, I feel for myself, I feel that was a bit of a stupid thing to do. But secondly, feel that I've been used, that I've been a pawn. There's nothing worse, it's a terrible feeling to feel that you're a pawn in someone else's hands. To feel someone has used you for their own ends is a terrible feeling. And it's a very disempowering feeling. And I feel God this morning wants us to forgive those who have wronged us and let us down. Now, Jesus told us how to do that. He said, forgive from the heart. So that means not just saying, oh, yeah, I forgive them. That's great. Actually, forgiving from the heart is a very hard thing because that means I've got to genuinely forgive them rather than just say it or in my mouth, my mind do it. To forgive from the heart means I want them to be blessed. Now, that's hard. In Matthew 5, verse 34, Jesus says, pray, bless those who wrong you. And so, actually, one of the things that I found most helpful is for people that have let me down the most, is actually to pray, God, today, instead of blessing me, would you bless that person? God, instead of the good things that you were going to give me today, don't give them to me. Instead, not to me, but give them to that person that's wronged me. Now, if you do that, everything in my flesh doesn't want that. Everything in our flesh, God, would you get them? God, could we have some judgment down there, please? God, could you pull the rug from under their feet? But actually, Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, who harm you, who are against you. Bless them. It takes a little bit of grace to pray, God, could you bless me and also could you bless them? But the real powerful prayer, this is the heart-setting free prayer, is God, today, don't bless me. Instead, the blessings you were going to give to me and my family, don't give them to me. Give them to that person who wronged me. Because if I do that, something in my heart changes. Something in my heart frees. And this root of being let down, this root of things deep in my heart, something shifts, something breaks, something changes. And Jesus said, give, and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so if I'm giving away a blessing, God's going to make sure I get a blessing too. I'm giving something away, and sure, God is going to bless me, absolutely. But I've taken the first step. I've done the first thing. I've said, God, would you bless that person? Think about the person who's wronged you most. Would you pray today, God, would you not bless me, but bless them? That's what Jesus is asking us to do. Not just so it blesses them and changes them and maybe something powerful would happen in their lives, but that it frees my heart from the bondage of unforgiveness. and it enables me to take a step forward out of this cynical heart. That's the first thing in the takeaway. Second thing in the takeaway is my focus. I can be so focused on human failings, I can almost keep a little kind of notebook in my head. Yeah, this person let me down in that way. This person let me down in that way. This person let me down in that way. And I can have a kind of tally, and my focus can be on human failings. Actually in Scripture, it says, set your mind on things above. Set your heart on things above. In Hebrews, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so actually choosing, when I'm feeling bogged down, cynical, negative, actually choosing instead to lift my eyes and to look to Jesus breaks something in my heart very powerfully. Thing is, Jesus will never let you down. Jesus has never let you down. My testimony today, I've been a Christian for 32 years, and in that time, my testimony is Jesus has never, ever let me down. In that time, there have been times I thought, God, whoa, where are you? What are you doing? But actually, with looking back over those 32 years, I can see even times where I'm wondering, God, what are you doing? Actually, with hindsight, as you see back, you see, God, what you were doing was there was for my benefit. You were doing something which actually was a bigger thing. I didn't see it at the time. But actually, Jesus has never, ever let you down. And he never will, and he never can, because that's his nature. He's the faithful one. So the more my vision and my eyes are on Jesus, and the less my eyes are on those that let me down, the more my heart is going to be moving out of cynicism and into being positive. Finally, our final takeaway is following on from that, really, is to see that actually life is for the long term. Often I'm concerned about today, the things that are happening today, the challenges today, the things that are happening. But actually, there's a long view in my life. The Apostle Paul said this, I know whom I have believed, Jesus. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. See, if anyone went through hard times, it was Paul. Shipwrecked, beaten, no clothes, no food, rejected by Christians. I mean, Paul went through a whole stack of stuff. But Paul took the long view. Paul wasn't thinking, here I am, no food, no clothes, the Christians have rejected me, this is just terrible, God, what are you doing? He took the long view. He saw that actually we're in this thing for the race, for the long term. And he saw ahead heaven from where he was. He looked ahead and he saw the prize, he saw the end, he saw heaven itself. And he said, Jesus, I know that you have got my reward, my eternal reward. It's with you and it's in heaven. And one day you're going to come back, take me to be with you. And so he looked for the long term and not just the day-to-day struggles. He had a view, a long view. God, would you give us the long view? God, will you help us to see beyond the challenges to what you're doing and where we're heading? Let's close our eyes and pray this morning. Father, thank you for the amazing, amazing words we've read today. Thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, you love us, that you have never let us down, and you never will let us down. God, would you do something in our hearts where we would have the grace to forgive those people who have in the past let us down? I ask this morning, would your Holy Spirit come and give us the ability to forgive from the heart those that have wronged and let us down, Lord. Jesus. Just as we're quiet, we're not trying to rake up anything from the past. Let's just focus on Jesus. But if you feel God pops into your mind and heart a person, a number of people, a number of situations where you've been let down, then it's important this morning, I believe, to pray for them right here, right now, on your own, between you and God. Bless them. find the grace from God to say, God, would you bless that person? I give away my blessing to them. I bless those that have wronged me. I bless them in Jesus' name. I feel perhaps there's some of us this morning, maybe there's someone at work or someone in the family or something where it's an ongoing situation of being let down. And so some of us feel, how can I do that if tomorrow they're going to let me down, the next day they're going to let me down? I feel that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to come today and to start with your heart, to strengthen your heart and give you the grace and give you the ability to forgive from the heart and to go into tomorrow with his strength and his help to face that person and that situation with God in a different way. Lord, would you come? Would you come, Holy Spirit, and help us where we're in ongoing situations of being let down? Father, I want to invite you into the situations that are on our hearts this morning. Things that seem intractable, insoluble, things that seem tough and difficult. God, would you come and work in and through these situations for your glory, for your kingdom, for your purpose? Father, forgive me where I've been cynical, scoffing, mocking. God, would you forgive? And Lord, would you help me to set my eyes on things above, set my gaze on Jesus, see the long term. I feel for some of us this morning, actually all God's asking us to do is something very simple. Jesus is saying, will you trust me? Very simple, Jesus saying to us, will you trust me? Lord God, help us.